This is Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Everything you need to know about the six-time NLL champions, Toronto Rock. Now, here's your host, Mike Hancock.
Nothing like back-to-back home games to get right back into the schedule after a bye week. The Rock will get their first taste of the West with the Calgary Roughnecks as the opponent on Friday and the Vancouver Stealth in Toronto on Sunday afternoon. What a weekend of lacrosse here in Toronto. Now, on this week's show, we have got a who's who of lax experts on the program. We'll have our regular contributor, Brian Shanahan, from the NLL on TSN and IsleIndoor.com, but we'll also dive into our deep pool of Western talent with the Calgary Suns' Ty Pilsen and the voice of lacrosse in Western Canada, the one and only Teddy Jenner from IsleIndoor.com, and his wildly popular Off the Crossbar podcast will stop by. Also, Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction will make his picks for the first weekend of the second half of the season, but taking the opening draw on the show today is the head coach of the Toronto Rock. He's on the line with us now. Hello, JL. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. Last Tuesday, a little bit of snow here in the GTA, so the team decided to cancel practice, and you guys held a practice on Saturday afternoon. It seemed like it was a very light mood, a lot of fun at practice. Was that by design here halfway through the season that ended up being kind of a lighter, fun-type practice, or did that just kind of evolve once things got started?
No, I think it just evolved once we got going there. I think our guys put in a good hour of work, and I think they were happy to do it. Like, you know, we're at a point in our season where, you know, nobody really wanted to miss practice on Tuesday, and, you know, we had into our routine. So I thought it was good, and I really liked how the guys responded to it. They got together and, you know, there was an event that night in Orangeville with Billy Hostrasser, so I think in all it was a pretty good team weekend for them.
Now, with all these bye weeks this year, and you know, you've got another one coming up following this weekend's games, but have you kind of figured out what the right formula is in terms of preparation now, or does it kind of depend on the situation coming out of the bye week or what the team's been doing? But have you figured out the right formula as to how to prepare on these bye weeks and kind of to keep the train moving in the right direction, so to speak?
No, I don't know if there's a formula for it. I mean, we just continue on and do what we do. We have a double weekend this weekend, and then we get a week off, and we have another double weekend. We may have the worst schedule I've ever seen, but, it is what it is. And, and we've got a tough run down the stretch, too, in the month of April. So, I think we just get our work in, and for some of our guys, especially our older guys, I don't think it's a bad thing for them to get, a weekend off here and there.
So I know we'll talk about something you love to talk about, and that's the lineup coming up. And, two games this weekend, Friday and Sunday. Friday night, the team will host the Calgary Roughnecks, and Sunday afternoon, the Vancouver Stealth are in town. There's obviously some questions that need to be answered here a little bit, and I don't know if you have these answers just yet for us, but Brett Hickey eligible to come off the IR this week. What's the word there? Is he going to be, will he come off the IR this week? Do you know that yet?
Well, I'm sure Brett Hickey will be playing this weekend, so I guess that means he's going to come off the IR. But, what we do with our roster, I really don't know. We have two or three guys banged up again and who didn't practice on Saturday, so we'll look at that on our practice on Tuesday and see what we have to do with our roster. But, Brett Hickey's a big part of our team. He had an outstanding year last year. He's not going to lose his spot because he pulled a hamstring, and he'll be back in there.
Now, with the two games this weekend, Nick Rose has obviously been not only the hot goalie, but he's definitely been the toast of the town here over the last few weeks. Is this a situation where you're going to continue to ride the hot goalie? I mean, that kind of seemed to be the sentiment I got from you last week, but now with another week to think about it and, two games back-to-back, will we see both goaltenders this weekend, or is it going to depend on how Friday night goes?
Well, I think Brandon Miller also has earned the right to get back in the net at some point, and having a double weekend, this is a good weekend to do that. But, you know, Nick's played very well, and I think he deserves to keep riding this wave. You know, he's kind of gotten us out of the hole by getting us our first two wins, so... You know, he'll certainly get the start on Friday night, and there's no secret there.
We're currently chatting with Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell. And JL, I guess, you know, just as we start to talk about this weekend's games, I'm sure it's going to be nice to finally get to see a Western opponent here.
Well, yes, it is. Just, you know, just to get something different in our schedule. But we'd like the West to be a little bit more helpful to us. They were very helpful to us this past weekend. So, you know, we just have to help ourselves. They're going to be tough opponents. I've watched them play. You know, they've struggled, but they've been in every game. And so I just hope they continue to struggle this weekend.
So let's first of all talk about the Calgary Roughnecks Friday night. They'll be the opponent in the first half of the doubleheader weekend at Air Canada Centre. Of course, Connor, Sean Evans, Daryl Veltman, some new faces in the lineup. How do those new faces kind of change what you think you'll see on Friday night?
Well, I think Calgary's made a decision to go a little bit younger, and I think they're certainly, you know, they are as what they have been on the back end. They're, you know, they're athletic, they move the ball, they play a very good team defense, and, you know, they've tried to, you know, put in a couple of newer, younger guys into the lineup, and I think they've really missed Dane Dobie in these last three or four games, whatever he's been out for, and, you know, so they're trying to find their way with some new lefties on that side. And of course, they still have one of the best players and most dangerous players in Curtis Dixon. So always well coached and always well prepared. So it's going to be a challenge. I believe they've lost, you know, two or three overtime games here, you know, out of the last four. So they've been in the game. They just can't find a way.
So with their goaltending situation right now, it's either Frankie Chiliano or Mike Poulin. They've used both of them almost equal number of minutes. Does it change your preparation at all, depending on who you think's going to be in net?
Well, Poulin's a little bit more active in the net, and where the big fellow just, you know, he's a blocker. But, you know, I kind of felt sorry for Mike Poulin the other night because he played an outstanding game, and to lose that game in overtime, you know, it was difficult for him and actually difficult for us. We were hoping Calgary was going to win that game. But no, I don't think it changes a whole lot except that, you know, we've seen these big guys in with other teams that we've played, these big blockers. And but, you know, we've played Mike Poulin enough that I'm sure Patty Kemp will have a plan.
Absolutely, and you know, that brings us right into Sunday in Vancouver, and they themselves have kind of been going through a bit of a goaltending carousel, and between Tyler Richards and Eric Penny, but also they've just been very inconsistent. They pull off a big win 1 week, Colorado gives it to them. A couple of weeks later, they give it to Colorado, and they've gotten behind as well very early in games recently, and that kind of seemed to be their undoing against Buffalo on Saturday. But what do you expect from this Vancouver team that maybe it could be tough to kind of predict what you're going to get?
Yeah, I don't know. They certainly they have four big-time shooters on their offense. You know, they can bomb the ball and like to get it away in a variety of ways and from different locations. So, you know, we have to be on our toes in terms of that. We have to play a very solid defense and be in people's faces and not let them get extensions on their shot and all those things. So they've got a pretty potent offense there, and guys that like to shoot the ball. And, you know, defensively, I don't know what to make of them. Sometimes they play pretty good shutdown and they get the goaltending, and other times they're not. And that's probably the dilemma for a lot of teams in our league.
Now, also in that game on Sunday, you know, a former Toronto star, Garrett Billings, is going to be back in Toronto just for the second time in another uniform. Is he still as dangerous? Is he still kind of the guy that stirs the drink out there and the main guy you got to kind of be aware of? Or, like you say, they have a pretty balanced attack.
I think he's one of four guys. You know, they got Dutch and Small and Logan Schuch. Those four guys in particular all shoot the ball extremely well. what Garrett brings is not only his ability to shoot the ball, but his ability to draw people, and he's one of the best passers I've ever seen. And he's got all the passes in his bag. They, you know, they talk about some players have all the variety of shots. Well, Garrett has that, but he has a variety of ways to find open guys, especially off ball. And so you can't go to sleep when you're checking him, and you can't go to sleep when you're checking guys away from Garrett, because he's able to find them. It's really kind of... you know, it's fun to watch him, actually, because he does make people better around him.
Well, I know a lot of Toronto fans will enjoy seeing him back at Air Canada Centre on Sunday afternoon, but at the same time, I'm sure everybody's hoping he has a fairly quiet afternoon on Sunday. So, JL, thanks a lot for joining us, and good luck this weekend.
Okay, Hammer, thank you.
All right, that was Toronto Rock head coach John Lovell. Coming up in a moment on the show, we'll have Teddy Jenner from IsleIndoor.com and the Off the Crossbar podcast. But first, be sure to download the new Toronto Rock app. And don't forget to check in on game days at Air Canada Centre for a chance to win great prizes just for being at the game. The app also connects you to everything you need to know about the Toronto Rock, always just one touch away. Diving back into things, we welcome the one and only Teddy Jenner from IsleIndoor.com and, of course, the host of the Off the Crossbar podcast. Teddy, how are you doing today?
I'm well, Mike. How are you, sir?
I am well. First off, something I wanted to chat with you about was just your column on IsleIndoor.com this year, the 30-second shot clock with 30 points, tons of great content that you're putting out there every week. Just wanted to know kind of where that all came from this year and just what the response has been to the column.
It kind of came from, actually, Elliot Friedman does his sort of 30 thoughts around the National Hockey League, and I just thought it was a great insight for fans to know some more behind-the-scenes stuff, maybe some nuances of the game of lacrosse that they may not pick up, and I have the ability and the openness to be able to talk to a lot of GMs and players and coaches just from my reputation as a guy that is a fair... you know, journalists and gives guys the ability to speak freely. So it kind of stemmed from Friedman's piece, and I was talking with a friend of mine, Chris Fox, and he mentioned calling it a 30-second shot clock, just giving it a relation to the game lacrosse. So I just started doing it, and I didn't think I'd have a lot of problems as the year went on, but, you know, there are times where maybe there'll only be one or two games in a weekend, so it's tough to get 30 thoughts out there. But as the weeks go on, I'm able to just pick up little different things, and maybe it's reading a news article somewhere or just a one-off conversation with somebody that I have that something sparks a thought. But it's just something I really enjoy doing, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback, not just from fans, but from players and coaches as well.
Well, it's been great stuff. I know I've enjoyed reading it each week, and keep up the good work there. And it's nice to read some fresh content, a little different perspective on things, too, is always nice. But let's talk a little bit about the Vancouver Stealth here. And up and down, I think, is pretty accurate. Probably a little bit more down than they would have liked. But they'll be coming to Toronto on Sunday. Garrett Billings, another homecoming here as well. But why have the Stealth been so inconsistent this year?
I don't really know what that answer is, Mike, to be honest. It's strange to see the way this team works. You think they're starting to turn the corner and start to trend upwards, and then they have a game like they did this weekend. I didn't get a chance to catch up with Dan Perreault after the game. He was kind of just keeping to his guns post-game, but I don't really know the decision to start Eric Penny was the right one. Tyler Richards had shown that he was and had been the better goaltender the past few weeks, and they've been pulling Eric Penny and going with Tyler Richards. So to start Penny was a bit of a head-scratcher for me. He let in four of his first seven shots, and they had to resort to Richards, and he played well, but it just was too much for the Vancouver Stealth to get back into. And this is a club that has incredible talent, as you know. They have one of the best power plays in the National Lacrosse League, and they were stymied by Buffalo. They love to shoot the ball from the outside, and if those outside shots aren't going in, then they really have a hard time trying to find a solution. Sometimes they don't move the ball very well. Sometimes guys pack it. They get too closed in the middle, and it allows defenses to play them a lot easier if they're not spread out. So Vancouver is very Jekyll and Hyde, and we need to figure out what this team needs to do to get over that hump, because, you know, they're battling Calgary for that last playoff spot, which everybody kind of thought they would do. but we just didn't think it would be in this sort of a futile manner. Their defense has played better, but they're just so hot and cold, and I don't know if it's a coaching thing that they're not as well prepared as they should be, or if guys aren't doing the work away from the game, but something needs to change. This team's going to continue to struggle, and when you're having performances like that at home, this is really their second, you know, really bad loss at home this year. It's not doing much to bring the fans back either.
Now, you did mention, is the problem personnel? Is it coaching? And that obviously a two-pronged question coming here. Mm. But, previously Doug Locker has, it seems like he's, hasn't waited really to pull the trigger last year when he, changed the course mid-season with getting rid of Johnny Palace, bringing in Logan Schuss. Mm-hmm. And then, I guess, first off, we'll start on the personnel side. Do you see something like that happening? Is this the right mix right now, or do you think that potentially there is a deal coming?
I would like to think that Locker, just like Jamie Dowick, is working the phones, trying to find something, whether it's a player or whether it's moving a guy and getting draft picks. But something does need to be done. The only thing is, much like Toronto again, is that a lot of the guys on that Vancouver team are BC guys. They're West Coast guys, and you don't have the luxury in this league sometimes to be shipping those kind of guys because they don't want to travel, they don't want to move, they have families, work, job, life, all those things back home. So I'm not sure if there's a trade for Vancouver to be made, especially now at this part of the season. Is there a personnel change on the bench to be made? Possibly. But yeah, I don't know if that's something you can do mid-season when there's not a lot of names out there. I know Doug Locker's not happy with the way his team's playing. I know owner Denise Watkins isn't happy with the way their team is playing. So I think there's a lot of soul-searching, a lot of introspective looking that needs to be done for this club. And it starts from the top down, and it's just a correlation of everything. There's not cohesion up top, and it's showing on the floor as well.
So, having said all that, and, you speculating that maybe a coaching change is a difficult thing to do mid-season, if this team continues to trend in this direction and perhaps doesn't make the playoffs this year, do you see Dan Perreault continuing as the head coach past this year?
Honestly, Mike, I don't see how he can continue past this year. They haven't made the playoffs since they've been in Vancouver. This would be the second straight year under Dan Perreault that they would have missed it, and they haven't been able to find a true identity under Dan. I don't know if guys have tuned him out. I don't know if he's not coaching them the way that they need to be successful. But if they don't make the playoffs this year, there, in my opinion, as a guy who's been around this league long enough, a change has to be made. And, years past, Denise Watkins has said, she's going to talk with the players and find out what they want. My biggest issue is I just don't know if there's enough people in that organization to make conscious, wise lacrosse moves to help better this club. Locker has done, an admirable job and a good job over the years trying to bring in pieces to help this team get better, but we haven't seen the success of those moves. Logan Schuss is having a great year this year, and he's, playing better at home, or as a member of the staff at home, but, that move hasn't helped the team. They tried to bring in Eric Penny. He hasn't proven to be the guy. All these moves that Locker has made aren't being successful. So, is that a sign of the guys aren't the right guys? Is that a sign that he's not making the right moves? And that also goes, is it the right coach in that mix? So there's so many answers, but if the Vancouver Stealth don't make the playoffs, I don't see how Dan Perreault comes back. And to be honest, I don't know if Doug Locker can come back.
We're currently in conversation with Teddy Jenner from IsleIndoor.com, and let's shift our attention specifically to the matchup on Sunday afternoon at Air Canada Centre here between the Stealth and the Rock. Obviously, the Rock off to a rough start here, but a couple of wins. They've pulled things back together somewhat here. What do you expect from Sunday afternoon's matchup between these two teams?
Well, I think a lot of it depends is what's going to happen Friday night when they play Calgary, and, they at least get a day off between those games. To rest some wounds and just to get the legs back to 100%. But Sunday games are always difficult for everybody, so you never really quite know what you're going to get. But these are two teams that understand the position that they're in. It's funny because, the three teams that are playing this weekend, the Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, those are three teams that you thought would be better. And they're the three teams that are kind of struggling the most in the National Lacrosse League. And it's interesting to watch how they've rebounded. You know, Calgary's lost three overtime games. Vancouver's not producing at home. And Toronto, you know, started 0-6, but they're trending. And a lot of that has to do with Josh Sanderson. He's really settled that team down. And they're not out of, you know, being counted out by any means. And I think this is a Toronto team that has started to find their groove. And if they can play the way that they've been playing lately, I don't think they should have any problems with either Calgary or Vancouver, which would put them right back in the hunt. And the only bad thing about Toronto is that the games that they're playing, you know, of seven of their last 10 are against Western Division opponents. So it's not like it's easy for them to make up ground on the teams that are in front of them in the East, but they can. And we saw Calgary do it last year when they were 0-6 and made the playoffs. And it's not written off for the Toronto Rock to do it either. But these are two big games that they have to win. And if they can run the floor, if they can get solid defense from Rosie, if he's in that, or if Miller has to play, then he's got to put in quality minutes. And I like the way Toronto is coming together. Their veteran leadership is standing up and leading the way they should be. And that's huge for Toronto.
Absolutely, Teddy, and hopefully we can get on a little bit of a run here, and two more must-win games for The Rock. Thanks a lot for joining us here. Always great having you on the show.
It's a pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Teddy Jenner from IslIndoor.com. Don't forget to check out his weekly 30-second shot clock column. It is great reading. It's time for a short break here on the show and a SportsCenter update, but on the other side, we've got Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, as well as Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. And immediately following the break, it is Ty Pilsen from the Calgary Sun. All that and more coming up right here on Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and this weekend, it's a lacrosse weekend in the city, a doubleheader in Toronto, Friday with the Calgary Roughnecks in town. It's Country Night, featuring the Boots and Hearts halftime show with Tebe, a chance to win VIP Boots and Hearts tickets, a trip to Nashville, and more. And then, if that wasn't enough, on Sunday afternoon, it's Toronto Sun Autograph Day. Bring down the kids and meet your favorite Toronto Rock players. Tickets for both games are on sale now at TorontoRock.com. And also, don't forget, there are always great seats available at the box office on game days if you're one of those last-minute shoppers. Joining us now on the show is one of my favorite guests from the Calgary Sun, Ty Pilsen. Ty, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
So, Ty, you have to tell us here right off the bat, you know, what has life been like for the Roughnecks so far without Sean Evans?
You know, with Sean Evans leaving, I mean, there was a lot of changes. Daryl Veltman left as well. So all of a sudden, Calgary's one of the few teams that only runs a six-man offensive unit. A lot of other teams have seven or eight guys. So they basically saw almost half their offense change over. Well, they did. They had three new forwards come in, two rookies in Riley O'Connor and Wes Berg, and then the trade that brought in Tyler Digby as part of the Evans trade. So they began this year with basically a 50% turnover on offense, and then Dane Dobie's been out with a broken arm, so that forced them in to bring in Tyler Melnick, a Calgary boy who's had a little bit of experience playing with the Rush. So it's been a difficult year for them. It's always tough to find chemistry, but when you look at a turnover of that magnitude in a league like this, it puts you behind the eight ball.
Now, I think everybody does kind of look at the loss of Sean Evans, or the departure of Sean Evans, we should say, as kind of the big one. But, you know, has the loss of Daryl Veltman also maybe been understated a little bit here?
Well, yeah, you know, Daryl Veltman was one of those players. When you're going to run an offensive unit in the NLL, you need some guys that are willing to play a role and not expect to always be the guy with the ball in their stick, to realize that they're kind of slotted in as that 5-6 type of forward. And, you know, Daryl had a fantastic season last year, I think probably his best season with Calgary. He was very clutch. He got big goals at big times, and he got those goals because in those situations, the defenses were looking at Curtis Dixon or Dane Dobie or Sean Evans, which gave Veltman a little bit more room on the floor, and he was finding those open spots, and when he got the ability to get a shot and he got open, he was putting them in the net. So, you know, you had a veteran guy who knew his role in the offense, who has a great stick. So, yeah, his loss absolutely does affect them.
Now, you mentioned new faces, namely Westberg, Riley O'Connor, Tyler Digby. Of those new guys, who has kind of thrived maybe the most, and who are you still looking for a little bit more from?
You know, I think both Digby and Berg at various times have played very well. Again, I'd like to see what either of those guys could have done in a little bit more of a stable environment. The loss of Doby really kind of threw this team in a flux when they were starting to kind of get their offense together. But that being said, all these guys have really stepped up, and they deserve credit, even though they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now. Given all the adversity, this team has been putting the ball in the net. But I think both of those guys have impressed me. I think I'd like to see a bit more from Riley O'Connor, but you know what? As the season's progressed, he has been playing better the last few games. He's putting the ball in the net. And, you know, he doesn't get enough credit for some of the off-ball stuff he does. You need guys that are creating space, getting loose balls, trying to set picks. It's not just all about putting the ball in the net. So I think all in all, both those rookies especially have probably done about everything this team could have hoped to this point of the season.
And, you know, Curtis Dixon is still, he's still kind of being Curtis Dixon. But when you look at some of those guys that have left, is that enough?
Well, and the problem with Curtis Dixon being Curtis Dixon is when you have a guy right now that has all eyes on him, especially after Doby, I mean, I don't really think we can, I can't put too much emphasis on the fact that losing a guy like Dane Doby, who's one of the best pure goal scorers in the league, and of course he's a lefty, so on the other side of the floor he's commanding a lot of attention. Right now on that side you've got Jeff Shatler, who's still a threat, you've got Riley O'Connor, and they've had Tyler Melnick playing over there. That's given the defenses a little bit more of an ability to focus on the right-handers to look at trying to shut down Digby and Dixon on that side. So Curtis has still been Curtis. He's putting the ball in the net. He's playing very well. But it's difficult. Nobody can be a one-man band in this league. You need to have credible threats all over the floor in order to spread defenses out and make them be honest. And right now, I think defenses are able to key a little bit more on Curtis. And, you know, that makes it very difficult even for a guy as good as he is.
Now, when you shift your attention to the goaltending, Frankie Chiliano and Mike Poulin, I kind of feel like coming into this year, I thought we were maybe going to see Frankie Chiliano just kind of run with the ball, but it's almost been, maybe not by choice, but it's been a platoon system a little bit at times with the Roughnecks. Is there going to be a time, you think, when they're finally just going to give the ball to Chiliano, let him run with it again here, or are we going to see a back-and-forth situation here for most of the year?
Well, I think the plan was coming in to have Frankie as the number one guy. I mean, I don't think there was any question that he played very well down the stretch last year. He was going to be the future goaltender for this organization, and he still is. But at a few points this year when he stumbled, they put Mike Poulin in, and Poulin has played, I'd argue the best lacrosse I've seen him play, or close to, since becoming a Calgary Roughneck. He's been absolutely phenomenal, and that's kind of been the tough part for the Roughnecks and their fans, that while there's all these issues with the offense right now, given injuries and turnover, the defense has played very, very well, which also had quite a bit of turnover, but really, Poulin's putting in some incredible, incredible performances. I mean, if you took him and put him on last year's Roughneck squad playing like this, it would be amazing, but that's the trick in this league. It's very difficult to find the chemistry where you can get all three facets, your transition, your offense, and your goaltending to all come together at the same time. And right now, while they're having these offensive struggles, Mike Poulin has playing so well that he's earned that spot. He said, "I'm going to stay in this net. Just watch how good I'm playing." Really, the guy's been incredible.
We're currently in conversation with Ty Pilsen from the Calgary Sun, and Ty, we'll shift our attention here eastwards a little bit, and I'd just love to get your take on what you've seen from the Toronto Rock this year, and just what you think of their start, and especially what's happened over the last couple of weeks with a couple of wins here.
Well, we talked about chemistry, and I talked to Nick Rose for a column I wrote a week ago, and he kind of mentioned the same thing. It's very difficult to get that chemistry. It is very elusive, and last year we all know that everyone expected, with Colin Doyle and Garrett Billings sidelined with injuries to start the year, everyone assumed that this Toronto team was going to struggle, but they managed to find that formula, and offensively everything they put on net seemed to be dropping. They were getting great goaltending. They had that great run. They faced some adversity, obviously, when the whole Garrett Billings situation before his trade. They still made it, right to the championship final. This year, all of a sudden, people were wondering how they kind of limped into this season, given that, the expectation was to kind of ride that wave. But like I said, it's difficult for teams, and, they had some bad luck. They had some bad bounces. They couldn't put everything together. All of a sudden, though, now they've managed to find their scoring again, which was the biggest problem over the first four games, especially. They found their scoring touch. Nick Rose is playing very well in that. They've had some players that are injured come back. Their defense is playing better. They look like a contender again. Now, Is there enough time to turn it around, given how well the rest of the teams in the East are playing? I mean, they certainly have the deck stacked against them, but as I mentioned in the column I wrote with Nick, you know, they don't have to look too far to see a team that's done this. And last year, the Roughnecks started 0-6, peaked at the right time, took a run into the playoffs, lost in the deciding minigame eventually to the Rush, who, of course, went on to win the championship. So that can happen. You'd think an 0-6 start to bury a team in a league like this, but that's not the case.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the next thing I wanted to ask you about, was a little bit about any parallels that you're kind of seeing between the Roughnecks start last year, where they were 0-6, and then I believe even 1-7. Now, they didn't, you know, with only one team needing to be beat out in the West to make the playoffs, a little bit of an easier scenario than the Rock are facing right now. But, you know, any similarities, or maybe what did you see in that 0-6 Roughnecks team that that kind of brought them out, that maybe the Rock need to channel a little bit of?
Well, yeah, you're right mentioning that it was a little bit of an easier road, of course, for them, and it took right to the end of the season for them to edge out Vancouver for that final spot into the playoffs. But, you know, in terms of similarities, the one thing I think that the Roughnecks got out of that start was you either let the adversity crush you or you let it kind of galvanize you as a team, bring you together within that dressing room, help develop that chemistry we speak of. And I think we've seen that with the Rock. I mean, it would have been easy to kind of come apart at the seams when you have a start like that and you're one of the storied franchises in the league. You're shouldering huge expectations. You know, clearly there's a lot of pressure on them. They're one of the more successful teams, both in terms of the fans they draw and in terms of their record and their history. But what I think I've seen from them is, you know, if you can come through that type of adversity and you can kind of bring the game together, and if you take those first four games out when they really struggled to score, and then you look after that, game 5 and 6 ramping up through their recent victories, I think you see a team that's slowly bringing all their facets of the game together. And that's going to be the key right now, because as you mentioned, this Eastern Division, I don't think many people expected Georgia and New England to start out as well. New England looks fantastic. Buffalo's obviously playing very well, and Rochester is Rochester. So it's going to be a very tough road for them to make it to the playoffs. But, I mean, you have to believe. You can't, you know, pack up your tent and say, you know, what's not going to happen. So they have the right mindset, and I think they've learned some lessons along the way that hopefully will pay off for them.
So Friday night, the Calgary Roughnecks come to town here to play these Toronto Rock. Are you thinking the Rock are getting win number 3 in a row, or will the Roughnecks get one on the road here?
You know, prognosticating is something I don't really like that much, especially in this league, because, boy, anything can happen on any given night. It's going to be an interesting game. I mean, clearly, the Rock needed to put some wins together at home. Let's face it, this league is still a gate-driven league. These teams need to be successful and put butts in the stands, and the attendance had started going down for the Rock. So, clearly, they want to win at home. They need another victory, as we mentioned, to stay alive and keep fighting. Every loss they take is another nail in the coffin for the playoffs. The Roughnecks, you know, they're coming off some really, really tough losses. I mean, they're losing in overtime. Like I said, they've got a lot of adversity they're facing offensively, and they're battling. They're battling, and they're making it through, but, you know, they lost another game on the weekend to Rochester in overtime. I'm not sure if I would classify them as a hungry team or maybe just an angry team right now. I'm sure there's a lot of anger in that dressing room that they just keep getting, you know, just so close to these victories they need and they can't win. So I expect them to be coming in like gangbusters in this game. They're clearly motivated to get a win. They're probably very frustrated. But again, we have a Rock team that's very, very motivated too with the start of the season they had. So you know what? I wouldn't go on a limb to guess which of these teams will win, but what I would expect is a very close game. I don't think we're going to see a blowout. I think we're going to see what most of the games have been, it seems, this season in this league. 1-2-goal game, maybe even another overtime one, but I think it's going to be a good game for the fans, and you know, at the end of the day, that's all we ever hope for.
Yeah, we are looking forward to a dynamite one on Friday night. These two teams never seem to disappoint when they get together, so thanks a lot, Ty. We'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, that was Ty Pilsen from the Calgary Sun. Still to come in just a few moments, Steve Rapp will join us on the line. But don't forget, there's still some great ticket packages available, including the Rock to 6 Ticket Flex Pack. 6 tickets that you can use in any combination for any game. You can visit TorontoRock.com to get yours now. Also, don't forget to download the Toronto Rock app, a new and improved app. And don't forget to check in on game days at Air Canada Center for a chance to win great prizes just for being at the game. The app also connects you to everything you need to know about the Toronto Rock, always just one touch away. Joining me now on the program is Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mike. It's the way things go sometimes. We were in both games last week, but we lose both by close margins. Black Wolves and Roughnecks both lose by a goal. And it was the epic match we thought about, New England and Colorado, but didn't fall our way.
Yeah, it's certainly both games, all the games on the weekend turned out to be pretty interesting affairs. So here we go, though, with the second half of the NLL schedule. Kicks off this weekend, a full slate of games, but we'll kick things off here with the New England Black Wolves looking to get back in the win column. Traveling down to Rochester to face the Nighthawks, who are coming off that big OT road win over Calgary. How do you see this game unfolding?
Well, we're going to jump right back on the New England Black Wolves here as they travel to Rochester. Not only because they still lead the East with a 5-3 record, but also because this is a real bad spot for the Nighthawks. They play the night before against cross-state rival Buffalo in a game between two teams fighting it out for second place in the tough Eastern Division. Then they get on a bus, travel back to Rochester to play this game the next night against a rested and probably pissed off Black Wolves team. As we mentioned, we're one goal away from beating the league's best team in Colorado. Rochester did bounce back from the drubbing that given to them by The Rock, with a dreadful gutty low-scoring performance against Calgary, as you mentioned, winning by a goal. But after Buffalo on Friday night, I don't think this leaves them much for Saturday. So I'm taking New England. Probably be a small dog on the road. I'm going to take New England plus the money.
And you mentioned back-to-back games, and that'll be the situation for the Toronto Rock this weekend. Sunday afternoon matinee, the Rock playing their second game in 3 days. Their opponent is the Vancouver Stealth, with former Rock superstar Garrett Billings coming back to town. Both teams will need a win in a bad way, no matter what the outcome for the Rock is on Friday. So who's getting to the pay window here on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to say, like I said a couple weeks ago, after the Rock's first win, that they had this lengthy upcoming homestand. And I thought they seemed right to put a win streak together. And at this point, two wins does constitute a win streak. So I'm going to keep my word and ride them until they prove me wrong. I imagine there are not many long road trips to be had in the NLL, but this is about as long as you get with Vancouver traveling across the country to play the Rock. Vancouver is not the best road team as it is. They have a 1-3 record away from their barn. They come in to play a desperate Rock team that seems to have found its way and itching back to get on the floor after that ill-timed bye week coming off that dominating performance against Rochester. Yeah, they play Friday, but I think against Vancouver here, I look for an easy Rock win to keep that roll going. So I'm going to take Toronto going against a traveling Vancouver team, taking that long trip across the country.
Well, Steve, I know you say two games constituted a win streak, but let me tell you, when we got one here in Toronto, it felt like a streak the way things were going. So,
well, listen, they got a long way to claw back into it, but there's lots of room to be had in the Eastern Division. They're by no ways out of it, and all we need to do is keep putting some wins together, and we'll be back in that playoff hunt.
All right, Steve, awesome, great stuff as always. Thanks. We'll look forward to chatting again next week.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
That was Steve Rapp from Sports Interaction. This segment is brought to you by Sports Interaction. Betting lines are available on all Rock games as well as all major sporting events. Established in 1997 and licensed and regulated in Canada and Jersey, Sports Interaction is a proud sponsor of the Toronto Rock. When we come back on the other side, we'll have Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and, of course, from ILindoor.com. There's more to come on Toronto Rock Total Access here on TSN 1050.
Now the script's about to kick off. This party looks wet. Let's take it back to straight hip hop. And started from scratch. I'm about to bloody this track up. Everybody get back. That's why my pen needs a pad. Cause my rhyme's on the red tag. Just like I did.
If you like getting a lot for a little, make it a Mitsubishi and drive home a Mitsubishi Mirage for only $8,998. Pricing based on MSRP, freight, PDI, and other charges are extra. Plus, head to a Rock game and then visit a Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for the chance to win a 1-year lease on a Rock-branded 2016 Outlander. Conditions apply. Go to gtamitsubishi.ca or visit your Toronto area Mitsubishi dealer for details. Proud sponsors of the Toronto Rock. Mitsubishi, built better, back better. Welcome back to Toronto Rock Total Access. It's the big doubleheader weekend, just a few days away. Country Night on Friday and Autograph Day on Sunday afternoon. Don't forget, tickets are available right now at TorontoRock.com. Now, after picking the mid-season's best so far, we now embark on the second half of the season, and we welcome in back to the show Brian Shanahan from ILindoor.com and the NLL on TSN. Welcome back, Shanny.
Thanks very much, Mike.
So let's start off with just a little bit of this past weekend's action. Only one East loss and two East wins. Probably not the help the Rock were exactly looking for, especially when at this point I think the Rock would be fine if the Black Wolves kind of ran away and hid in first place and the rest of the division kind of kept losing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this past weekend was three Western teams hosting three Eastern teams, and as you said, two of the three Eastern teams won. Buffalo beat Vancouver pretty easily. 13-8 was a final score. Rochester won in overtime in Calgary, and New England was the only Eastern loser this weekend. They lost 14-13 in Colorado.
So that Nighthawks win in overtime, do you think, was that kind of their biggest win of the season maybe this year?
Well, I think it probably is. It's definitely, considering what happened in Toronto a week ago, it's a great rebound for them to come back and, win a tough game in overtime. So I think that, yeah, that's a huge win. And, they have been, pretty unimpressive, really, this year. Rochester, I know, they didn't look that way against Toronto and a couple wins earlier in the season. But overall, Rochester has not been overwhelming in any way. So that was a big win for them getting the road.
Now, also, as you mentioned, out west this weekend, Buffalo and Vancouver, a game that, was definitely one that Vancouver wanted. And, everybody seems to be almost in must-win mode, it feels like, every week, despite the fact some teams are obviously a little bit out on the others. But, the Bandits got up early on Vancouver and kind of put them to bed, I think. Dane Smith, another 5 goals and 8 points. And it doesn't look like he's slowing down at all either.
Yeah, I agree. And, they were up 4-0 within about 4 or 5 minutes. And I think they built it to a 10-4 first half lead. But, and then even though Vancouver did play better in the second half, they never really made much of a dent into that lead that Buffalo started with. But it's funny how, Dane Smith, he had 8 points, and that was a below average game for him this year. So we're getting used to him getting his 8 points or so a game, and it seems that we hardly take notice when he does it now. He's been that good this year. But Buffalo, I think, even though they had a couple of games that surprised us, the loss to Georgia in Buffalo a few weeks ago really surprised me tonight after losing to the Toronto Rock, and I think they lost one earlier against New England. But other than that, they've looked pretty powerful at times, and they look like they may be the most offensively explosive team in the NLL this year.
Yeah, and I mean, Dane Smith, certainly, I think, giving everybody a reason to watch right now. We're currently in conversation with Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN, and Friday night, the Rock's opponent will be the Calgary Roughnecks. Definitely a bit of a personnel juggle up front for them this year. Is it easy to point your finger maybe just at those personnel changes as the reason why they've struggled? Or, I guess early in the season last year, they struggled with some of those other faces in the lineup as well.
Yeah, I think last year was a whole different animal. It's just something maybe the Rock could relate to. Things just were not going well for them, and they went 0-6, like the Rock started this year. But this year, I do think you can point to those personnel changes. Especially, losing Sean Evans is absolutely huge. But when you throw in with that Dane Doby, who I believe he broke his arm, I know it's an upper body injury. I think I read somewhere that said that he's got a broken arm. So he's been out for 4 or 5 games now. And that is really, that's a big part of their offense. And it kind of almost leaves Curtis Dixon on his own to carry the offense. And, I think they've struggled with that. So they're playing good lacrosse. They're competing every game. They've lost 4 in a row, but the last 3 were in overtime. So, they'd have a much different record if they had won even just 1 or 2 of those games. But right now, I'm sure, much like Toronto was earlier, they're just looking to get the right balance. I mean, they're now 3-7, so they're just a bit ahead of the Toronto Rock. But with 3 overtime games, I think they're a better team than the record is showing.
Now, we talked to Ty Pilsen from the Calgary Sun a little bit earlier on in the show today and talked to him a bit about the goaltending in Calgary and the fact that it looked like going into the season, Frankie Chiliano was going to finally be the guy and Mike Poulin was going to be the backup. But so far, both guys have seen almost equal action. What's your take on the goaltending situation there? When are they going to finally pass the torch to Frankie here?
Well, I agree. I thought it was done. I thought it was done last year. They passed the torch to him. And I think it's just the fact that he struggled a little bit at times that, Poulin's back in there, and give Poulin credit. He's come in and played well in a few games, and I think he stole a victory earlier on. So I think right now it's up in the air, and I'm sure they're happy that Poulin has played well, but, no team likes to sort of feel like it's unknown who their number one goalie is, but, I guess you could probably even relate, with the Toronto Rock as well. I think most people thought Brandon Miller was the number one guy at the beginning of this year. And, Nick Rose has played really well lately. So they seem to be in similar situations right now. But, it's great to have two goalies going well. Right now, I think, Calgary maybe has one goalie playing well, and that's Mike Poulin.
Well, and when we talk about goaltenders, that kind of nicely segues into the Vancouver Stealth. And Tyler Richards came back, I think, somewhat unexpectedly this year. Eric Penny was going to be the guy for them, but unfortunately he struggled, and he was definitely chased from that goal early on in that game on Saturday night against the Bandits. But do you think it's almost time you go back to the veteran here in Vancouver and ride Tyler Richards?
I think he'll get the next start. I agree. And whether they ride him or not, you're only as good as your last game, really. So if he comes up flat, they'll change him. Just like they pulled Eric Penny. But I think, he may have the tide may have turned in Vancouver that Tyler Richards has probably claimed the number one spot for now. So I would expect we'll see Richards playing in Toronto, but that's just my take on it.
Yeah, well, let's just hope for Rock fans he doesn't muster up any of that magic he had in that 2011 championship game in Toronto here, which was one of, I think, the best goaltending performances we saw in any one game with Tyler Richards and Bob Watson. But moving on to the rest of the Stealth here, Garrett Billings, a guy who's always, the topic of conversation in this city after all the great things he did for the Rock in his time here. But so far, still picking up points, playing for the Vancouver Stealth, but he has just 8 goals in 10 games, I believe. Where do you think his game is at right now?
Well, I've been impressed from, when I've watched him. I think he's really helped that offense. He's taken a lot of pressure off Reese Dutch, on the right side, and then adding, Logan Schuch has really come into his own. So all of a sudden, I think that Vancouver's offense that looked really looked kind of inept the last few years, all of a sudden looks very balanced. And I know, heading into the weekend, they also had the top power play. And I think a lot of that is Garrett Billings. Yeah, he hasn't put up the crazy numbers that, that he's put up, in his best years with the Toronto Rock. But I still say he's been a solid contributor. And I'm surprised that he only has 10 goals in the 8 games he's played, because he's got such a fantastic outside shot. And I think that outside shot establishes, makes so many other things work for his team. When he can take those outside shots, the defense has to spread out, and that opens up so much. I'd say even though his numbers are down, I mean, they're still pretty good. He's got 45 points in 8 games. So it's not that they're bad, but I think he could break out with a 10-point performance, at any time. So I think he's still a very, very dangerous player. He's got the great shot, but he's also a great passer. He's got that over-the-shoulder pass that he can pinpoint. I think Billings is one of the guys that Toronto Rock will have to be concerned with.
All right, Shane, we've only got about a minute left here. You're going to be back on the mic this Sunday as the Rock Stealth game will be on TSN2 at 3 o'clock. Any prediction there for this game on Sunday? I know it's probably a little bit of a different situation, knowing that maybe Friday night's performance may change how you feel about Sunday afternoon's game, but how do you think this one's going to unfold on Sunday?
Well, I've been pretty consistent in one direction. I've been picking the Rock to win most of the games, but I really do think what we saw from The Rock against Rochester might be, you know, the team that they have now with, you know, guys coming back from injury on the back end, and the offense seems to have settled into a groove. I think we're going to see more of what we saw last year. So I think The Rock is quite capable of winning both of these games. It won't be easy, but you know, I'm going to predict The Rock to go 2-0 this coming weekend.
All right, there we go. You heard it here. Thanks a lot, Shanny. We're looking forward to this weekend, obviously, and we will see you Friday night.
Excellent, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
All right, that was Brian Shanahan from the NLL on TSN and IslIndoor.com. Now, before we wrap things up on Toronto Rock Total Access, I have to remind everybody about the epic doubleheader weekend coming up, starting off with Friday night and the Calgary Roughnecks in town. It's Country Night featuring the Boots and Hearts halftime show with Tebe, a chance to win VIP Boots and Hearts tickets, a trip to Nashville, and more, all on the line on Friday night. And then on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, it's Toronto Sun Autograph Day. You can bring the kids down and meet your favorite Toronto Rock players. Tickets for both games are on sale now at torontorock.com. Also, after each and every Toronto Rock home game, you can join the players and cheerleaders at Shoeless Joe's at 276 King Street West. It's the home of the Molson Canadian Toronto Rock post-game party. Shoeless Joe's is located at the corner of King Street West and Duncan Street. And Rock fans, you can head to Shoeless Joe's before each and every home game and get 15% off your pregame meal just by presenting your game ticket. It's your chance to meet the Toronto Rock players and cheerleaders and enjoy an ice-cold Molson Canadian at the post-game party. Thanks to my guests on this week's show, Teddy Jenner, John Lovell, Ty Pilsen, Steve Rapp, and Brian Shanahan. In the meantime and in between time, this has been another edition of Toronto Rock Total Access. I'm Mike Hancock, and we'll chat next week.
You've been listening to Toronto Rock Total Access on TSN 1050. For the best ticket in town, visit torontorock.com. And be sure to follow The Rock on Twitter at Toronto Rock LAX. Stop the rock.